Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in our La Crosse studio. Thank you very much for joining us today for a very interesting conversation about the La Crosse mayoral race. 10 candidates are vying to replace the current mayor at the end of his term. That primary election happens this week, this coming week on Tuesday, and we have an excellent panel here to discuss it with us. Joining us are Dr. Anthony Chergosky, a political science professor at the University of Wisconsin, La Crosse. Anthony, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Brad Williams is a reporter with WISM News. Brad has been on WIZM and its affiliated stations certainly as long as I can remember. Brad, it's good to have you with us.
Thank you, Ezra.
Eric Timmons is the editor of the La Crosse Independent, a progressive online news organization. Eric, thank you for not only your excellent coverage of this race up to this point, the forums that you've hosted, but also thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Ezra. Happy to be here.
We have another journalist on our panel today. Olivia Herkin is with the La Crosse Tribune. She's the local government reporter there and has done many, many stories on this race. Olivia, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Absolutely. I mentioned Eric's forum that the La Crosse Independent hosted online along with La Crosse Local, but WIZM has had a couple of online panels for candidates as well, which Brad and Anthony have both been involved in, and all of those things, along with the Tribune's coverage, have certainly been the backbone of my information on this race. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Let's just get it kicked off by looking at the 10 candidates that are going to be part of this race. We've got a couple of city council people, Common Council members, not running for re-election to their seats, but instead running in this mayoral contest, Martin Gall and Jessica Olson. Anthony, can you tell us just very briefly a little bit about these candidates?
I think they're interesting candidates, Ezra, because in many ways they are campaigning on their experience in government. Martin Gall, as you mentioned, is the council president. And so I think his selling point to his campaign is that he understands government. He gets how city government works. I think Jessica Olson, her campaign kind of blends her business background in terms of being in the housing business, being in the rental business, and also the fact that she is also on the city council. So I think that she runs on more of a blend of her experience in government and business.
Olivia, there are a couple of people who are involved in the business community to one extent or another. Several of the candidates are either business owners, former business owners. People will know Joe Conrad as a former banking executive here in town. What do you know about Joe's candidacy, his platform, things people might want to know about him?
Yeah, from what I've seen, Joe has really kind of stood out as a candidate who has been really adamantly opposed to actions that have been made by current administration, Mayor Cabot and the current council. He told the Tribune in a questionnaire that his greatest frustration with our local leaders has been a lack of initiative, which he says, he thinks he can instead bring to the table using that experience as a banker. He thinks that he has the leadership and the management skills, and he's really focused on property taxes and building the city's tax base.
There are a couple of candidates who are familiar as media personalities, either in their work on the air or in their work advocating for others in a more present capacity in the media. Mitch Reynolds works for Whole Tree Structures now, but he was a longtime host and journalist at WIZM. And Vicky Markison was a television reporter before becoming involved in things like the Chamber of Commerce here in town. Eric, what do voters need to know about these candidates in terms of their backgrounds?
These are both two strong candidates. Mitch has a lot of media experience, and he knows a lot about how the city works from his time doing a show on WISM, the local AM radio station, for many years. And Vicky was executive director of the Chamber of Commerce, So she brings a lot of experience from the business world and how that interacts with government to the role. And so, yeah, they are definitely two of the leading candidates, I would say.
And out of a field of 10, it's well, we'll talk later about how exactly people get ahead out of a field of 10. Brad, we've got a few candidates that we have not talked about. Chris Stolpa is a former business person here. Catherine Blanchard is a current business owner here. What do we know about those two candidates?
Well, their appeal, I think, is going to lie mainly in the fact that they are business knowledgeable and that they know what it takes to be a person trying to earn a living, run a business, and do commerce in the community. And in that way, they may be picking up some support. They may not have gotten as much attention as some of the other candidates who are more out in front in the public, but certainly they have customers and they have business contacts that are going to help them get connections. And once again, they may not be getting as much notice from the public as the better known candidates, but they are making certain points in their campaigns.
I'm looking at the last two people on the list. Zebulon Kemp is Zebulon Kemp and Greg Salieris are both involved in hospitality. They're not the last two. They are two of the last three. It's hard to keep up with 10 candidates. Anthony, circling back to you, what do we know about Mr. Kemp and Mr. Salieris?
Well, in the debate that I moderated for WISM, those two candidates did stand out for a couple reasons. Mr. Salieris stood out because he certainly touted his business experience, but also his just dissatisfaction with many of the policies that are occurring in La Crosse. He seemed particularly passionate about parking policies in downtown La Crosse, and I don't think he's the only person who is passionate about that particular issue. Mr. Kemp is a veteran, and he is trying to find some ways to cut the city's budget, cut down on wasteful spending. Of course, I think he's garnered some criticism, and he garnered some criticism during the debate for focusing on roundabouts. And, you know, people have strong opinions about roundabouts, just like they have strong opinions about parking downtown. But the idea was, you know, how realistic are his proposals to cut spending? And yeah, he's certainly someone who is running on the platform that there is too much wasteful spending in city government.
The person with the least political or business experience in this race is Sam Schneider. If elected, he would be the youngest mayor ever elected in La Crosse, which is saying something since La Crosse has not too long ago elected the other youngest ever mayor in La Crosse. So let's go back to Olivia. What do we know about Sam Schneider, 18 years old, running for mayor?
Yeah, Sam is obviously the youngest candidate in the race, and he's been kind of fun to cover, honestly, because he's very active in his campaign. I would say he's, you know, one of the candidates that is throwing the most curveballs, so to speak. Maybe not curveballs, but, you know, he's just really out there. He's the only one, as far as I know, who has held a press conference for anything. He's been releasing many plans. Just today, he announced he supports reopening the Myrick Park Zoo. He has announced that he would take a pay cut and also would propose a referendum to increase property taxes. But that, you know, these plans have also received a little bit of pushback from other candidates, and some of the older candidates think maybe, you know, he doesn't have enough experience in this field. Just a little more background, he also owns a cleaning business, and he really draws on that as, you know, experience, even though he hasn't owned it for that long, is my understanding, to be able to manage a city.
On his website, it said that he started that business during the pandemic. So it's been sometime in the last 7 or 8 months or so. interesting nonetheless to see someone so young take up such a big undertaking. So that is at least in brief a rundown of the 10 candidates running for mayor of La Crosse, running to replace Mayor Tim Cabot at the end of his term. We're going to talk more about this race. We've got our panel here for the hour, and I'm very grateful that they've joined us. You heard Olivia Herkin there from the La Crosse Tribune, Eric Timmons from the La Crosse Independent, Brad Williams from Wisdom News, and Anthony Chergosky from the University of Wisconsin La Crosse. I'm grateful for their participation. If you'd like more information about this program, if you want to stream part of our conversation that you missed, or maybe a previous episode caught your ear and you'd like to listen to it again, you can find them all at our website. It's wpr.org/newsmakers. Our show continues in just a moment. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Ezra Wall in our studios on the campus of the University of Wisconsin La Crosse. Thank you very much for listening. We're talking about the 2021 La Crosse mayoral race and all 10 of its candidates with our panel of expert guests today. We've got several journalists with us, Brad Williams from Wisdom News, Eric Timmons from the La Crosse Independent, Olivia Herkin from the La Crosse Tribune, and also Anthony Chergosky, who's a professor of political science, assistant professor of political science. I might have accidentally promoted you, Anthony. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's not. At the University of Wisconsin La Crosse, and I'm grateful for them joining us. We've heard about all 10 of the candidates. I'm interested to know. Let's start with you, Anthony, on this one. This is a nonpartisan race, so even though this is a primary election, we're not running to see who is going to be the Democratic nominee and the Republican nominee. It's just a take all comers primary, and the top two vote getters move on to the general election. What are the advantages or disadvantages of having a nonpartisan race like this?
I think the disadvantage is pretty clear, that it puts a lot of work on the voters. Normally, the party label next to a candidate's name is an extremely valuable information shortcut. So in a typical partisan election, a voter could go to the voting booth not knowing anything about the candidates, never even having heard of them maybe. But they can tell a lot about the candidate just by that D or the R next to their name. And that's especially true as the parties have polarized over the last several decades. In this race, because voters lack that simple cue, it really does put the onus on the voters to do more work, to do more research, and to identify which candidate they'll support out of a field of 10. So Ezra, this was already going to be a challenging task for voters with the nonpartisan nature of this election. Add to the fact that there are 10 candidates in this election, and the voters really do have quite a challenge. And I really hope that the voters will kind of like embrace that, because we do really need high voter turnout in this election. But certainly the number of candidates and the lack of party labels does make life difficult for voters in their decision making.
Brad Williams, you've observed many mayoral contests here in La Crosse through the years. I know if there's a mayor who is running for re-election, that might not draw as many candidates to that race as a race where the incumbent has announced that they're not running. But how does this compare to previous elections? How often do you see this many candidates in a race?
We've seen quite large numbers of candidates in, I would say, the last 20 years or so. It's true. Normally, I want to get back to Anthony's point that since it is a nonpartisan race, you can't necessarily tell where a candidate is going to be. There are really only a couple of times in some of the recent campaigns where you have been able to either know where a candidate stands politically, or it becomes evident during the campaign. One, John Mettinger was a two-term mayor, and he had been the Democratic assemblyman for several years before becoming mayor, so people knew where he stood on that. And Also, a case of Matt Harder, who was mentioned a little earlier, is that I don't know that he affiliated necessarily with the party, but he tended to, this was 2009. This was right after Barack Obama had been elected president. And Doug Farmer is another one whose name comes to mind. He ran against Tim Kabbett a few years ago, and Mr. Farmer has been very active in politics. He ran as a Republican for state Senate many years ago. But getting back to Matt Harder, it was a case where he emerged as the Tea Party favorite in that 2009 election. So the more conservative voters came to him, and he ended up becoming the winner. Now, another candidate, Mark Johnsrud, served was one term as mayor, 2005 to 2009. He had run as a Republican for different state offices, so people who knew where he was. Ironically, getting back to the question about how many candidates are in a race, he was challenged by six people when he was about to run for his second term. I think he was in a field of seven because people were not happy. This was right at the time of the Great Recession, 2008, and things were happening that people did not like. He came in fifth, so he was way down in the primary at that stage. But generally, you're going to see the collection of candidates more often when it's an open race, as it is now that with Tim Kabbett not running for another term. When it was Pat Zilke retiring, you'd get a lot of candidates. Mettinger retiring, there are a lot of candidates. And so it's not a surprise. It's actually more of a surprise the last time 4 years ago that Tim Kabbett had no opposition and he was able to run unopposed and get a second term.
Olivia Hergen from the La Crosse Tribune, as you're covering this race, are you seeing the candidates that you've spent the most time covering giving any sort of, I don't want to use the negative term dog whistles or whatever, but giving any hints or any using language that their supporters might use to help them recognize whether this person might line up more on the left side of the political spectrum or more on the right side of the political spectrum? Or are these people legitimately trying to run campaigns that are kind of down the center?
I would say it's definitely a mix, and I think it is more apparent when a candidate is leaning left. Just from what I've reported on, I think of people like Chris Stolpa. He has focused on a lot of, not radical, but really new ideas, and has brought a lot of new ideas to the table that really stand out, and you know, they lean a little left. I think of specifically on environment, he suggested the city use hempcrete. You know, it's things like that, more progressive. I also think of somebody like Mitch Reynolds. He is the only candidate from my reporting that has advocated for a housing first policy, which is, you know, just putting housing above all else. And that is really seen as a left-leaning stance to take. I do think there are other people who are trying to run a purely nonpartisan race. One that comes to mind is Martin Gall. He's expressed to me several times that he is trying his best to purely be nonpartisan, and he has been throughout his career as a council member as well. And to the point of going back to Anthony's question about what the benefits and the disadvantages of having a nonpartisan race are, I do think there is a big disadvantage to voters, but I think a benefit for candidates is that it gives them a little bit more of a political cover, I guess you could say. You know, they are able to kind of take stances on all sorts of different types of the aisle without, you know, upsetting a base or a party like that.
Eric Timmons of the La Crosse Independent, we've been talking about this issue of not having those partisan markers, Democrat, Republican, not having that automatic sort of sorting hat. I apologize for the Harry Potter reference there, in terms of which candidates are going to automatically line up with each person's issues. Now, as a public, we've all been clamoring for less partisan gridlock, less partisan gridlock. And yet in a race like this, where we see 10 candidates all running in a nonpartisan race, isn't this exactly what we've been asking for?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's refreshing in some ways to not have that partisanship. And I think one way of looking at this race is that the choice before voters is experience and maybe the status quo versus a new way of doing things, new ideas and new people. And so on the one end of the spectrum, you have Martin Gall, who's the council president, has a lot of experience, has a kind of a sort of technocratic approach, maybe more so than the others, and would kind of be a defender of the status quo, I think. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you could find someone like Sam Schneider or Chris Dolpa or Kathy Blanchard, who have zero political experience and are kind of talking about coming in and trying to shake things up. And so I think that in a lot of ways, that is the divide in this race.
I'm looking at all 10 of these candidates. Some of these people are for one reason or another, either media involvement or their position on councils or their position in the business community. Some of these people are known quantities locally. Some of these people are much less well known. But I want to ask, let's start with Brad this time. Do you see any candidates kind of rising to the top? I know, you know, polling isn't a thing that really exists in a race like this, but are there any candidates that are kind of rising above the fray, so to speak, and maybe looking at like front runners?
I don't know that you can put any particular person in as the leading candidate. It might be possible. Obviously, after the primary, we'll know who the public thinks the top candidates are. But at this point, there are four candidates who have stood out to me because of their exposure and their experience. You have the two candidates who are council members now, Martin Gall and Jessica Olson. So they have been in the arena and doing the work the last few years. You did, of course, mention Mitch and Vicky, who have been Vicky longer ago than Mitch. In the media and then moved on to more business pursuits. So they have that recognition as well. So I think those four at least are the most recognizable names. And then the other candidates have to figure out what positions they'll take and what issues are going to stand out to get themselves attention. But those the two council and the two who have been in the media seem to be the ones who are going to get the most attention just offhand.
Eric, as you assess the 10 candidates that we have in front of us and using the metrics that are available, which are not the same as in a statewide race or a national race of any import, but what's your best sense of who's rising to the top?
I think Brad's assessment was correct that those are the four leading candidates, Olson, Gall, Vicky Marcus and Mitch Reynolds, but with so many candidates and the likelihood of a low turnout, probably pretty much anything could happen. So it's very hard to say, but those are certainly the four candidates who have, you would think, have the biggest natural base coming into this and the biggest presence on social media and kind of name recognition. But I wouldn't count anything out. I think anything could happen.
Anthony, you're nodding your head vigorously as Eric mentions low voter turnout, which is a bullet point that I was hoping to get to, and Eric has led me right to it. So talk about turnout in a race like this. This is, I mean, is there one statewide race? There's this local race, obviously, common council members, common council seats, I think are also up, some other local stuff. Certainly not a race like we saw last November, nothing close. What is turnout typically in a race like this, and how can these 10 candidates get people to show up to the polls on their behalf?
Well, that basically is the challenge from the campaign's perspective, mobilization. Because Ezra, to your point, voter turnout is extremely low in elections like this, which presents us with quite an irony, because of all the offices that affect people's day-to-day lives the most, you can make a strong argument that the local offices are right up there in terms of just how much they impact people's quality of life, how much they impact communities and public safety. The bizarre thing is that the very offices that impact people's lives the most are elected with some of the lowest voter turnouts. Now, that means that the electorate may not be representative of the people. The people who turn out to vote may not look like the broader population of La Crosse. And small groups of voters, to Eric's point, small groups of voters could potentially shape the outcome of this election, because when you split up a small number of votes among 10 candidates, all kinds of wacky stuff can happen. So I agree absolutely with what Brad and Eric said about the four candidates who really stand out. But the fact that there are 10 fields in what will probably 10 candidates in what will probably be a low turnout election just presents a massive potential for a wild card in this election outcome.
It's almost like a small Sunday school class could swing the thing or something like that. I want to ask about each of you. Maybe this is a more fair question than who's rising to the top, or at least maybe it will afford more reflection, more opportunity for discussion, because it doesn't depend on data. But as you've been reporting, let's start with you, Olivia. As you've been reporting on this issue, who do you see that should be getting more attention, or who do you see that some people think might be presenting a better case for themselves than maybe you anticipated?
I would say that this is a really hard question for me to answer, because it has been a particularly quiet race, I would say, aside from Sam, as I referenced before, who's been hosting a couple press conferences and sending releases. But other than that, I mean, my inbox is pretty quiet from candidates. You know, nobody is really sending us new ideas or anything like that, new press releases. And they're turning more to the Facebook Lives, chatting with people on social media. And so I think it's really hard to gauge that. But I think maybe the top four are candidates who I would put in that category of maybe being either under or overestimated. Because like we said, I think we all assume that they are the top four because of the name recognition, but I think we're just not hearing enough from them.
Brad from WIZM, what do you think about this field of candidates? Who has surprised you?
I'm a little surprised that Joe Conrad hasn't gotten more attention because of his stature in the community, and that I really hadn't heard too much from him until we did our forums here on WISM. And then he was able to speak on the issues that interest him. Certainly, Sam has stood out among the candidates in getting out there and calling attention to, here's what I want to talk about this week, and here's what I wanted to discuss the next week. Now, the others, it may be just a lack of political experience that they have not been more forthcoming, at least to us in the traditional media. There may be a whole lot more on social media that I haven't seen, but I think Joe might be one of those wild cards, and certainly Sam, if we're talking about the ones that we haven't mentioned yet.
Eric from the La Crosse Independent, who should people be paying more attention to? Who's kind of flying under the radar here?
I'm going to dodge your question slightly, Ezra.
Go right ahead.
People should be paying more attention to the council races. And in a lot of ways, that's more important than the mayoral election. That really is where the power is going to come from. And about half the council is up for election, and only one incumbent is seeking re-election. And in the other seats, there's a very diverse and young field of candidates who are exciting and have a lot of new ideas. And I think that's what deserves more attention, more so than the mayoral race.
So as people look for information on that council race, I know that I've been focused in preparation for this program. I've been focused more on gathering information for our discussion about the mayoral race. But if somebody is curious about who's running for council in their area, where do they go for that research if they haven't happened to get like a Facebook recommendation or something, as I have, to follow some of these people on social media?
I would say the La Crosse, I will say the La Crosse Tribune is an excellent resource for information there. There should be some stuff on the Independent, but the city website is pretty good on their elections part of their site where people can see the council races. I think it's districts 7 to 13, which is in the southern part of the city primarily. But yeah, there's a lot of young and exciting candidates running who I think are really going to shake things up. And I think that's going to be a huge story, is how the mayor works with this new council. It's going to be potentially a new mayor and a completely or a largely new council with a lot of kind of bold ideas.
Well, Eric, thank you for, as you put it, dodging the question. I would say bringing up another important aspect of this election. So thank you for that. Anthony, I'm going to come back with my original question to you, though, about whose ideas deserve more attention than they're getting, or is there somebody who is flying under the radar in terms of somebody people should be paying attention to?
Tough to say, Ezra. I think that the four players that we've talked about are unsurprisingly receiving the most attention based on their reputations in the community, their roles in the community, and based on their experience in government. It's no shock that the candidacies of Martin Gall, Jessica Olson, Mitch Reynolds, and Vicky Markison have risen to the top in many ways. I want to pick up on something Olivia said about Sam Schneider earlier. And I think that he is running a surprisingly shrewd campaign. And I say this because he kind of came out of nowhere and he's capturing so much attention with these provocative proposals. Talked about the zoo proposal and the proposal to cut his pay, the proposal to put increases to property taxes up to a referendum. So I think that he's really shaken things up in terms of getting proposals out there that maybe capture the attention of someone who's only paying casual attention to this race. It is the hardcore political followers who are going to turn out. The question is, can you get people beyond that small portion of just hardcore voters who will vote in every election? I think Sam's making the best play for those voters so far, just in terms of the proposals that he's putting out there and in terms of the way that he's creating some buzz around his candidacy.
That's Dr. Anthony Chergosky of the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. Also joining us today, Eric Timmons of the La Crosse Independent, Olivia Herkin of the La Crosse Tribune, and Brad Williams of Wisdom News. I'm thankful for their participation today. We're talking about the 2021 race for mayor of La Crosse. That primary election is going to be held on Tuesday, so get your voting finger ready and get out to the polls. In the meantime, if you'd like to hear more about our show, you can do so at WPR.org/newsmakers. We'll be back to wrap it up in just a moment. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in our Southwestern Wisconsin Bureau. Thank you very much for joining us. Our conversation about the 2021 mayoral race continues in La Crosse. We're talking to UWL's Anthony Chergosky, Wisdom News' Brad Williams, the La Crosse Independent's Eric Timmons, and the La Crosse Tribune's Olivia Herkin. I'm grateful for all of you joining us today. Let's go to Eric first in this segment. We're talking about these candidates and who's rising to the top, who's falling behind. Let's talk about what issues they're really trying to bring forward. Are there areas of contention among these candidates? One of the forums, at least that I watched, found a lot of them agreeing with one another, or at least finding one other candidate to kind of agree with to seem less disagreeable. But are there issues on which there really are differences?
I think it might be fair to say there's been a fair amount of vague booking among the candidates too, of sort of generally agreeing with things, but not really taking a firm position. Two of the big kind of issues or stories that I've been watching where there are differences among the candidates are on the homelessness crisis in La Crosse and how we should approach that and what we could do with it. Can we, what we can do about it? Can we solve that at the local level? I think Olivia touched on this earlier. Mitch Reynolds is supporting a housing first policy, which, you know, would mean offering housing to people who are unsheltered unconditionally, which is quite a radical proposal. And I think a lot of the other candidates are not willing to go anywhere near that far. So that's an area where there's division. Another idea that's being talked about is to create a citizen or civilian oversight board, community oversight board of the police, similar to one that was recently established in Madison. Kind of in the wake of the George Floyd protests and all of that outpouring of anger against systemic racism last year. And on that one, most of the candidates have said they're in support of it, but I'm skeptical of how firm that support will be if they actually are elected. And so I think those are two key issues that I'm watching.
Olivia, what about you? What issues do you see these candidates trying to bring forward? And are there differences as to the preferred issue of choice among one candidate or another?
Yeah, well, first, let me just say I agree with Eric that I think many candidates are really taking the middle of the road on so many of these issues. But something that is really standing out to me is this issue of building the city's tax base back and property taxes and development and all that is related. But it's really something that every candidate has hit on. And they all agree that the tax base needs to grow and that there are these gray field sites and these vacant storefronts. But I think that there has been a little bit of a disagreement on how to get that and how to build the tax base. I can use the U-Haul development in the former Kmart site as an example because everybody else has. And there's a divide between folks who think, you know, we should be bringing in any type of development. People are supporting something like U-Haul going into a space that I think the city had higher hopes for. And then there's another side of people who I think instead think long-term investments, your public markets, your Lacrosse Center expansion, your River Point North districts are the way to go because they will build, you know, a better tax base that can sustain itself. So I think that's the biggest difference I'm watching.
Brad, as you're looking at these candidates trying to establish a difference between each other so that one of them might actually come out, they are kind of all playing to the middle, or at least a lot of the time it seems like they're playing toward the middle. One thing that a lot of them bring up just in light of events that have gone on in the last year in not only our community but across the country is this commitment to diversity that everyone is talking about. And yet very few of the candidates have actually articulated how they would create a more diverse government in La Crosse. We hear a lot from these candidates about I want to listen to people, and yet very few of them talk about exactly how they're going to do that. What have these candidates said on the issue of diversity or on the issue of being more inclusive or listening to more people? Who has articulated more about how they're going to do that?
I think it's more interesting that the more diverse field is among the people who are running for city council seats rather than actually the mayors, because we do not have a culturally diverse field of 10 candidates for mayor necessarily as compared to people who are running in the various districts on the south side of La Crosse. You have, I think, more of a mix there, and that's maybe going to get attention. There probably will be, I think you're right, is that people are playing it safe in the mayor's race now, and that once we get past the primary and get closer to the April election, that issues will come forward. That we have the traditional issues that have been brought up, is like, you know, there's not enough tax money coming in, there's too much tax-free property in La Crosse, and why don't they fix the streets? And all those sort of things. La Crosse Center, I thought, would have been a bigger issue than it has been because so many people have said, we don't go to the La Crosse Center. Why are they spending so much money on that? Nobody asked us. But I think once we get to the final two candidates, then a certain diversity may become more of an issue then. And the certain traditional, the contest, the issues that people often care about and bring up on Facebook are going to come forward, and then we'll see where they stand.
Anthony, to that point about candidates taking a wait and see approach in terms of waiting for the general election, do you think that's the case? You see people not taking super firm stances on things, holding a card or two back so that once they find out who their general election opponent might be, if they in fact advance, they then know which direction they have to play to create tension and differences between the final two candidates?
Oh, I certainly think so, Ezra. I also have noted the vague nature of many of the candidates' proposals and the vague nature of their rhetoric. It was a struggle for me as a moderator of one of these forums to create some daylight between the candidates. And as I tried to do that, most of the time they would not oblige. So it was a challenge, and I think it does reflect the cautious campaigns that many of these candidates are running. I do think you'll see more of a bold campaign. You'll see more negativity. You'll see sharper contrast be drawn once we get down to the final two. But this field is really holding its fire in terms of going after each other. And that's unfortunate in a sense, because I do think the voters deserve to know what that daylight is between the candidates. So to me, that's a bit of a disappointment, because voters need to know where the candidates differ to make an informed choice. And I'm not sure that the campaign at this point has really done that.
In terms of creating that daylight, I mean, some candidates might not do it in their own communication. We typically might rely on public events where candidates are being questioned by journalists and others to create some of that daylight. Eric, as you're covering these races for the La Crosse Independent, how difficult has it been this year in terms of the widely accepted practice of not holding public events due to COVID, the widely accepted change of not doing door-to-door campaigning, again, because of COVID, more and more people relying on, one or two of the candidates. I'm thinking of one in particular has been having pretty regular Facebook Live sessions with people, which they're touting as reaching out to the public and being available and all this sort of thing. But it's their own forum. It's their own controlled environment. These candidates are less available to the media than they have been in the past. How does that change the way journalists have to cover the race? And how does that make it more difficult to create that daylight that Anthony was talking about?
I think in terms of how the candidates have been campaigning, some of them have still been going door to door, and I think have been able to do that safely. And then others have taken advantage, perhaps, and found ways to be more engaged with voters using social media. Mitch Reynolds has been doing a lot of live streams, and that, some of the candidates are very active on social media, and then perhaps some are not so active on social media, and so that has been a disadvantage. But of course, we don't know, in a race like this, a lot of the voters are probably people who are not active on social media. So it's hard to say what the effect will be there. In terms of covering the race, I don't think the pandemic has really made a big difference, because of the tool, these tools like Zoom that we can now use to talk to the candidates. In fact, in some ways, it's arguably easier now to talk with the candidates, perhaps too easy sometimes for the candidates.
I've seen this is not an exhaustive list. I'm going just off the top of my head, but let's see. WIZM had a couple of forums. The Tribune did a questionnaire and published a series of articles based on each candidate's answers to the questionnaire. The Unitarian Universalist Church in La Crosse has had a forum. The La Crosse Independent had all 10 candidates on the same forum, and all of these different avenues have been great. Even the Democratic Party itself, even though it doesn't endorse candidates, did a similar questionnaire and released the results of it to the public. So these candidates have found ways to get their word out. But as we're looking at who pays this close attention to a local race and the low turnout that we've been talking about. Brad, is there any way? I know you're a reporter for a radio station and not necessarily a political prognosticator, but are all of these messages going out to the same small set of people, or is this really making a difference in the way these people are able to access the public?
Well, it depends how small the group of people is. We will find out on primary day how many people actually care enough to come out, because we've heard the predictions of 17 to 19%, or at least that's what the primary turnout has been in recent races. So at this point, it may be the case that only the small percentage of people who are going to go to the primary are paying attention, and that people will pay attention later on when it gets down to the final two and that draws their attention to it. But at this point, that's another thing that's hard to know, because we have had surprises in recent races before Tim Cabot became mayor, we had a couple of elections where somebody won the primary and then the second place candidate actually came forward and won the general election. You had that in 2005 where Mark Johnsrud was the winner of the general election, but the top candidate was Deke Swanson, longtime politician and longtime city council member. Then the next time, 2009, Dorothy Leonard, who had been on council and in elected office for a long time, became the leading candidate in the primary and was bested by Matt Harder in the April election, which brings up another thing, is that I think Dorothy Leonard had the best chance of being the first female mayor of La Crosse. We've never had one before. We didn't even have women on the city council until the 1970s. It's a lot more even now, but the question is, we do have a couple of strong female candidates in this race, and how will they do? Will that be a factor?
We're nearing the end of our conversation, but I want to turn to Anthony Chergosky of UWL one more time. As you've studied political science, you have looked into the way we use politics to organize and advance ourselves as a society. This is an interesting election, and as you look ahead to people, I don't know, maybe they're cautious going to the polls, maybe they're just not interested in this election. Why is it so important for people to be paying attention?
Well, Ezra, it goes back to that impact that local government has on people's day-to-day lives. And this has been an unfortunate trend over the last number of years and decades in American politics. As a political scientist, my fancy term for it is the nationalization of politics, where people become so focused on what happens on the national stage. And I understand that, right? I mean, presidential elections are captivating, and what happens in Congress has incredibly high stakes. But when it comes to people's day-to-day experiences, the quality of their transportation and public safety and the communities that they live in, the quality of life that they have, their local government really matters. So it deeply disturbs me that so few people vote, and that small number of voters may not be representative of the views and interests of the broader population. They end up calling the shots in these elections, for better or for worse, Ezra.
Anthony Chergosky of UWL, thank you very much for your input today.
Thank you.
From the La Crosse Independent, Eric Timmons joined us today. Eric, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Olivia Herkin is with the La Crosse Tribune. Olivia, thanks for your time.
Thanks so much, Ezra.
Brad Williams is a longtime reporter with Wisdom News and their affiliated stations. Brad, it's good to have you with us today.
Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. If you'd like to hear this program again or catch one of our previous episodes, go to our website. It's wpr.org/newsmakers. Dawn Jewell helps me produce the show along with John Davis. For Dawn, John, and the rest of our La Crosse staff, I'm Ezra Wall. Please join us again next time for another Newsmakers right here on Wisconsin Public Radio.